preacher. Amen. What a blessing it is to be back in the tabernacle tonight. And I trust you've had a good day. And thank God for the cooler temperatures. That's a blessing. And praise God. Good to see this good crowd on Friday night. I figured everybody would be at the grocery store tonight and all that kind of good stuff. But thank God some of you still came to camp meeting. Amen. And that's a blessing from the Lord. And look forward to tonight and then tomorrow night and Sunday night's final service. You be much in prayer. After the service tonight, I'm driving back home. I'll be driving back down tomorrow. And Lord willing, bring part of my family with me, back with me. They're going to be able to come, hopefully, and tomorrow night's service. And then I'll be driving back tomorrow night and preaching at the church on Sunday morning. Be driving back Sunday night. So I got some ground to cover in the next couple of days. So you pray for me. And really pray, too. The rain hit Charlotte pretty hard, and they closed I-85 off this evening. I don't know if it's still closed or not. If it is, I'll have to find some back roads, praise God, and get back that way. But you be much in prayer that the Lord will help us. And I appreciate these days the Lord has allowed us to be here. And I hope we've been a help and a blessing to you from the Word of God. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Numbers, chapter number 11. And if you're able tonight to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and we'll read a few verses in the book of Numbers tonight. And then I'll read a couple of verses over in the book of Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read those to you tonight. Numbers chapter number 11, and you'll find the context of the scripture that I'm reading tonight. Moses is leading the Israelites in the wilderness. They have come to the place now. God has sent manna among them, but they begin to complain about the manna. The mixed multitude begin to complain, and they talked about remembering the fish and the cucumbers and the onions and the garlics and the leek back in Egypt. And isn't that amazing that God can drop bread from heaven for folks and then they'll find something to complain about? Amen. But here in the scene that I'm reading in verse number 10, Numbers chapter number 11, the Bible says this: Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and the officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not of thyself alone. And I want to read two verses, and you don't have to turn unless you just want to. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 27 and 28 says this: Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church: first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that tonight would you enable me by your Spirit to be able to bring this message, God, that you've laid upon our heart tonight. Help us, Lord, that we might receive the word with gladness. And Lord, that our hearts might be challenged by the word of God tonight in this place. Would you help every church, help every pastor here tonight, Lord. Help every child of God, Lord, that we might find our place of service, Lord. Lord, that we might find the place, God, that we can be used in the work of God. And Father, I pray now that you just meet the need of the hour. You know what it is. And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the context of the scripture that I'm reading, Moses has come to the place. The people have begun to complain, and it's caused a great anxiety to come upon Moses. Matter of fact, you find that the Bible said that when Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, that the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. I'm talking about God was mad at him, and the preacher was mad at him. Amen. And here's a crowd. They're out there and they've been led out of bondage. They've been brought and Moses is leading them. God's dropping down bread from heaven for them to eat. And they still found something to complain about. And Moses got in a bad way. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people think, well, the preacher, he's a superman. There's no way he can ever get overloaded. There's no way that he can ever carry too much load. But here's Moses, the same man that stood at the Red Sea and lifted his rod and parted the waters. Here's that same man now, and he's talking to God. And he said, God, I tell you what, if I found any favor in your sight, why don't you just kill me and get me out of this mess that I'm in? I'm talking about, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? The Bible said here, Moses had got to the place that he's asking God to kill him. I tell you, your preacher's in a bad way when he gets to the point. He says, God, if you think anything of me, get me out of this mess. And the Bible said that, I mean, it gets to this point, and this is what I never could figure out. Here Moses tells God, he said, let me not see my wretchedness. What about the wretchedness of that crowd that's complaining? Why is it that the preacher always blames himself when things go wrong, when most of the time it's that complaining crowd and that contrary crowd that's causing all the problems, amen? But here's the scene. The Bible said this. God said, no, I ain't going to kill you, Moses, but what I am going to do, I'm going to give you some help. And said, I want you to pick out some people among the elders of the tribes and bring them in. And said, I'm going to take the Spirit of God that's on you, and I'm going to put it on them. And they're going to help bear the load of the people with you. I began to study this one day. I looked over in the New Testament, of course, and I read the verses there that God had given some things to the church. Now, I know you hear a lot today about apostles and prophets and all of that. You turn on the Christian news channels, and that crowd's all the time talking about apostle this and apostle that, but there ain't nobody ever mentions that one little word that the Bible said that God gave to the church, and it's a word called helps. He said he gave to the church helps. Do you realize today that anybody can be involved in that? Do you realize not everybody here is called to preach? Not everybody here is called to be a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher. Everybody here can't sing, but everybody can be involved in the ministry of helps. Amen. I begin to study that little word. I looked up the Greek word that comes from, and that word helps has a threefold meaning. It means to be a supporter. Listen, if you're going to be a help to your church, you're going to have to be a supporter of your church. If you're going to be a help to the work of God, you're going to have to be there and be dependable at the house of God if you're going to be a help to the work of God. Not only does it mean to be a supporter, it means to be a partaker. And that means when you get there, get in on it. We've got so many onlookers today. Everybody comes just to see the show, when all the while they need to get involved and get in the work of God and be a partaker in the work of God. People say, well, I don't have any talents, and preacher, I don't have any ability, and I don't do this, and I can't be like that fella, or that lady's got more talent than I do. Have you ever watched a ball game? I love to watch football. I'm a football fan, I guess it's just all that pent-up aggression from being a Baptist pastor. I like seeing people hit each other. And I just like to see them hit each other hard. and I like football, but I've always watched them games, and this is how it plays out. You've got two teams out on the field, man. They're struggling. They're fighting. And you got the star players, the star quarterbacks that's out there on the field. Now, not everybody is going to be the star quarterback. Not everybody's going to be the preacher. Not everybody's going to be the song leader. Not everybody's going to hold some role like that. But there's a whole team out there. And I've noticed this. There's always that team out there, and they're fighting. They're muddy and they're bloody, and the game's hanging in the balance. And there's always a bunch of them little old fellas on the bench that don't never get in the game. They're not as good as the star quarterback. They're not as good as the star running back. And they're usually sitting over there while everybody else's uniform's muddy. They're sitting over there and they ain't got no mud on their uniform, and they're sitting there on the bench. And you say, well, they ain't no use to the team. Oh, can I say to you, praise God, I've seen them be a big help to their team. I've seen the game hanging in the balance and the star players on the field trying to get the victory. All of a sudden, them boys that's on the same team, they ain't got no mud on them. They ain't got no blood on them, but they realize their team needs them. I've seen some of them old boys jump up and grab a towel and go to waving it in the air to try to get the crowd fired up because their team, the match is hanging in the balance. I got news for you right now. If you can't be nothing but a towel waver at the house of God, amen. If you can't be nothing else but a cheerleader, you can be a help to the work of God, amen. Matter of fact, I don't even know how many of y'all really know. You've been in camp meeting, you've seen people wave handkerchiefs. I wonder how many Baptist folk really know the history and the origin of where that came from. I was privileged just this few weeks ago. We went on a Baptist heritage tour, and they took us to a place in Virginia at a courthouse. And on the courthouse lawn there's a monument erected there to five Baptist preachers that was put in jail in the 1700s for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said they put these men in jail, and they said they continued to preach from the jail cell. The congregations were gathering outside the jail cells and said they would gather there, and those men would stick their hands out the bars and they would preach as they would gather outside the jail. They said, we've got to stop this somehow. And the guards begin, when they would put their hands out, they'd begin to slash them with knives and to try to stop them from preaching. Matter of fact, one of those preachers, they said in his death, he had such scars on his hands where those guards had slashed his hands as he's preaching from the jail cell, that one little child asked and made the remark, what happened to it, to his little daddy? And they said that after they didn't stop preaching, they just kept preaching, said finally, they said, we're going to block up the window till the people can't see them. And they said that didn't stop them. Said the people decided, said, we need to let them know we're out here. And they took a big long pole and they tied a handkerchief to it. And they ran it up and started waving it to let them know they was out there ready for preaching, praise God. And them preacher just kept on preaching, amen. Every time somebody waves a hanky in a meeting, praise God. Thank God for some saints of God that was waving hankies a long time ago. Hallelujah to his name, amen. Somebody's a help, praise God. I'm talking about a help in the work of God. I'm talking about a help, a partaker. Get in on it, praise God. It means to be a supporter. It means to be a partaker. It means relief. You realize everybody, every soldier at some point needs a relief from his duty. I go to preach for preachers. And they ain't had a vacation in 5 years. Preacher, I ain't got nobody to help me. I can't even take a week off. I got news for you. Everybody needs some help. Hey, man, if you hadn't figured out what I'm preaching on tonight, I'm preaching on the ministry of helps. And I'm hoping somebody will sign up tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I begin to think about that very thought of help. And I said, Lord, I need an illustration that will show what I'm trying to say. I begin to think about people in churches, and I guess I can speak of Baptists because I pastor Baptists. I've preached in Baptist churches all over the country. So I kind of know Baptists pretty good. And as if you go in most churches, you can divide people into two categories. Matter of fact, we're sitting up there the other day eating lunch, I believe, and Brother McAbee, he began to talk and he said this very thing. And I've been preaching this for years, Brother McAbee. You had no idea that I preach a message along these lines. He said, you can divide people in most of our Baptist churches into two categories, givers and takers. He said, you're going to fall on one side or the other. You're either being a blessing or you're the one that comes and says, give me a blessing. Hey, you're that fellow all the time comes and said, Lord, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Won't you come one time and say, Lord, make me a blessing tonight. Lord, use me to be a blessing tonight. I began to think about that, and the Lord showed me a little illustration. I brought something with me tonight that I'm going to use to illustrate this message, and you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but that's all right. You'll have to get in line for that, praise God. There's a pretty good crowd up. I brought something tonight, and if you can see it in the back of the tabernacle, it's a plastic funnel. It's the kind like you put, I guess you can put oil in your car. You can pour a little bit of everything through it. It's a very useful tool. When you think about, I begin to think about a giver. This is an instrument that's what it does. It simply gives into something else. It is a vessel that's used to pour through it into something else. I thought about what a blessing it would be if we had some folks like that old funnel. But I begin to think about this. I brought something else with me tonight. I've got one more thing here tonight, and you can't see it all the way back in the tabernacle, but I've got a plastic straw here. I thought about both of these are made out of the same thing. Both of them work on the same principle, but they work in reverse order. One's a giver and one's a taker. One's used to fill other vessels, and one is used to drain other vessels. I know a lot of church folk that when you get around them, praise God, you'll get your life filled up. I've been around some of them old saints of God, and you just get around them, and you'll leave full. I'm talking about you'll leave full of power and glory. I mean, but I've got around some Baptist folk, they'll suck the life out of you. They'll drain you of all of your joy. They'll drain you of all of your encouragement. I don't know about you, praise God. If I got to be one of these, I want to be a vessel, amen, that God can flow through and touch the lives of somebody else, amen. I begin to think about these little old things. I said, this fella is one that he just kind of fits in wherever you want him to be used. You don't have to make a special place. He's just there to find a place to be utilized. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks, they'll be used if they can pick the spot. They're going to tell you what they're going to do. Whatever happened to somebody saying, you know what, Lord, I don't care what it is. I just want to be used. God, I just want you to help me to be a help to my church, a help to my preacher, a help to my children, a help to my family. God, help me to be a servant and have a servant's heart. Amen. Oh, I thought about that. Last year, there's an old boy came to our church, and a fellow sold him a house and invited him to our church. He's from Durham, North Carolina area. Didn't know anything about this man when he came to our church. And the first Sunday there, this man came and he said, preacher, I invited my friend to come, but said, I need to warn you. So this man's a lifelong Roman Catholic. He's never been inside of a Baptist church. And he said, I just thought I might ought to warn you today. I thought, oh my, this is going to be interesting today. This man's never been in a Baptist church. He's ever seen some fella with a dress on them calling him father. Looking through a little peephole in the outhouse, praise God, forgiven sins. And I said, this is going to be interesting. The old boy got in there, and man, he'd never witnessed him singing like that, and certainly hadn't never witnessed preaching like that, but the old boy liked it. He started coming back. He kept coming back. And it wasn't long that old boy's son got under conviction. He hadn't got saved yet, but later found out what this man does for a living. He's a chemist. He's a scientist that works in developing new drugs. Matter of fact, he worked for the last 5 years on a drug for epilepsy, and it has just gotten FDA approval to go worldwide. I'm talking about a brilliant man. And how he ended up in a little country church beside the creek, I can't tell you other than God. And that old boy got in there, and he got so under conviction. I was in revival at a little country church in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And he said, preacher, can I drive you down there? Here I am in the car with a Roman Catholic man driving me to preach at a little independent Baptist church in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. I said, Lord, the word's going to get out. I've went ecumenical, praise God. And that old boy, I'm telling you, but it wasn't long after that old boy got saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about a brilliant man. I'm talking about a man that's got a mind like you wouldn't believe. And he never been. We have a jubilee every year in November up at our church, and we have a week-long meeting, and we feed meals all three meals a day, and we got a lot of work. And he said, "I'd like to help in that there jubilee." I said, "Man, we're looking for people to volunteer." My wife, I said, "Go see my wife. She'll find you something to do." He said, "What can I do in jubilee?" She said, "I need somebody to wash dishes." Amen. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Whatever it is, I'll do it." Praise God. All that week, there stood a scientist washing dishes. Amen. You know why? Because he had the mentality. He said, "Wherever I can fit in, I don't have to have a place of prominence." Amen. I just want to find a place, hallelujah, and fit in. Amen. Boy, we need some people like that. We need some people like this fellow right here. I mean, he's not the focus. He's simply a tool that something can pour through. Sometimes we as preachers become the focus. Everybody talks about, "Wow, what a preacher. Wow, did you hear that guy? Did you see how high that guy kicked his leg while he was preaching?" Oh, I've heard people say this. "Man, I'll tell you what, I wish you'd have heard that preacher there tonight. He run all over the church, turned cartwheels and flips, and then you ask him what he said. They said, I have no idea what he said, but he sure was entertaining while he said it." Amen. I mean, what good does that do you, man? Praise God. I can go to the circus and see somebody turning flips. Praise God. I need somebody that's going to help me and preach the Word of God. But I thought about that. I mean, he's simply, I tell you, a preacher should be not the focus, but he should be just a tool that the Holy Ghost can pour through and touch the lives of somebody else. I don't know about you, I want to be that in my life. I thought about that. You know, this fella right here, he's very forgiving. What do you mean, preacher? I remember back years ago, way back in the day, you used to, when you went to buy oil, it was in those metal cans with the metal tops, didn't have the twist tops like we got today. And they always had them metal deals there. And up in the mountains, if you drove cars like I did growing up, most of the cars I drove used more oil than they did gas. You had to keep a case of oil in the trunk. And some of y'all have driven cars like that down through the years. And, you know, you had to be ready to put some oil in it. And a lot of times you'd take a pocket knife and you'd poke a hole in one side of that. You'd poke a hole in the other side. You usually didn't have one of these handy. And you'd go to try to pour that oil in the motor. And I'd usually end up pouring more on the motor than I would in the motor. But you see, the thing about it is, if you had one of these, you could be off the mark a little bit and it'll take up the slack. Boy, I like church folk that when you come in as a preacher and you've struck out, man, you've missed the mark and you know you've done the worst job you've done in ages. And all of a sudden, when you get to the back door, there'll be one of them little old saints of God like this right here be standing there and say, "Boy, that's just exactly what I needed today, preacher. You don't know how that message helped me." I got news for you. Praise God. We need some people that when we're off the mark, they'll take up the slack and be a help at the house of God. Amen. I was looking on this right here. It says, "This fits all dipsticks." I said, "Man, hallelujah. I sure am glad. I sure am glad there's some folks that'll help you handle them dipsticks that show up at church." Amen. I promise you, they will show up now. They will show up. I mean, some of them folks coming, man, they ain't there for no other reason than just to annoy you. I remember a few years ago, I had a lady that's coming to the church, and God bless her heart, she was one of these people that everything in her life was a crisis. I mean, she, every day of her life was a crisis. And most of the time, the things she was all up in the air about never amounted to a hill of beans. But she always wanted everybody to be involved in her crisis of the day. I remember one Sunday morning, I was just a young preacher, and the building was filled, man, people there, probably a couple hundred people there, and I'm trying to get my mind on what I'm going to preach. It's in between the Sunday school time and the preaching hour, and I'm welcoming folks, and I'm shaking hands, and this lady, she came up to me, and she said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you right now. I've got a problem." You know how it is. You know, they get all up in the air, and I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "What can I help you?" And she pulled me over to the side. We were standing there, and she began to talk, and and it wasn't really nothing. I mean, I do my best to be compassionate, and I try to help folks that really have a need. But some of those folk, I have a real hard time paying attention to them. I mean, I'm standing there, and I got that deer in the headlights look in my eye. And you know, when they talk, I don't know how many of you remember years ago that little cartoon that used to come on, Peanuts, Charlie Brown. Do you ever remember Charlie Brown's teacher? You ever remember Charlie Brown sitting in the class? And Charlie Brown's teacher, what she sounded like? It sounded like this. Wah, 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 wah. That's what it sounded like. And when people like that are talking to me, I'm trying to listen, but all I can hear is wah, 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 wah. I'm standing there and I'm in a mess, man. I had a little old deacon. He's in heaven now, a little old deacon. He's in heaven now. And that Sunday morning, I was standing there, and all of a sudden, he walked over to me, and he grabbed me by the arm. He said, excuse me, Pastor. He said, I hate to interrupt you, but he said, could I talk to you just a minute over here? He said, the deacons need to see you over here just a minute. And I said, yeah, sure, hold on. I said, ma'am, could we talk about this later? I said, one of the deacons, they need to see me over here. She said, yeah, that'd be fine, Pastor, that'd be fine. And she walked off, and I thought, man, what in the world's wrong? What's going on? I walked over, and I said, yeah, brother, what is it? What's wrong? That little old fella stood there, and he crossed his arms, and he grinned real big. He said, ain't nothing wrong. He said, I just saw you needed help. Thank God for somebody that'll help you with the dipsticks, amen. This brother's praying, send me some, Lord, send me some. Amen. God help him. We may have to lay hands on him tonight, praise God. This fella, he just finds a place and he's used of God. But there's so many in our churches like this guy right here. He's very narrow in his mindset. Matter of fact, he's that fella that when you want to do something at the church, he's always one that says, I don't believe we can do that. I mean, you know, they sent 12 spies into the promised land to look at everything. And 10 of them come back and said, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're bigger than we are. And two old boys says, yes, we can. Hallelujah. We've got the land. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. I want to be somebody that's got the faith to do the will of God and the work of God. Amen. I don't want to be so in my mindset and limit God. I want to let God do whatever he wants to do. Amen. This fellow's narrow. This is the fella that's noisy and aggravating in the church. I remember traveling the years. My family, I've drug them all over the country singing ever since as little kids. We like the Phillips family. We identify with folks like this because my kids had a drug problem growing up just like they did. There's drug to every church in the country. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, if you're going to drag your youngins to every twice dead, plucked up by the roots Baptist church in the country, you need to try to reward them a little bit along the journey. And I'd always, after the service, try to find a McDonald's or something, you know, just as a little treat for the kids, because I done made them sit through a church service where half of the members didn't even want to go. And that little boy of mine, he's grown now. He's got his little family. But him, when he was little, he'd get that drink, and he'd always drink that thing down, and he always wanted to get a refill. But he wouldn't, before he'd ever ask, he'd drink, and he'd go slurping on that cup. You know how that noise, that aggravating noise when it gets empty, and they're just sucking on that empty cup, and it just do that till it get on your nerves. And I said, would you stop that? He said, can I get a refill, Daddy? Yeah, go ahead. I thought there's a lot of folks in the church get on your nerves, make a racket and aggravate you. And the reason is it's dry where they're at. And they're needing a refill real bad. Oh, I tell you one thing right now. I'm glad, praise God, though this fella right here, he can help with that. Amen. I thought about this fella, not only is he narrow in his mindset he's noisy and aggravating. But this is a fellow that you'll find he's always near a fight in the church. What do you mean, preacher? I remember one of the most vivid memories I've got. I grew up, went to public school in Johnson County, Tennessee. I was always a pretty good student, and I did my work, and I didn't bother anybody. But one of the most vivid memories I have is sitting in a classroom, sitting toward the front of the class, in the classroom, minding my business, doing my homework, and all of a sudden, a big old fat juicy spit wad hit me up, I mean right behind my ear, And I looked around to see where it come from, and there's this demon-possessed dude like this right here. I mean, just start. I mean, you know, these folks in the church, they're always, if there's a fight starts, they're always right in the middle of it. If there's any trouble starts, you can look around and that fellow will be there. But let me tell you something right now. Thank God for people like this in the church. They're peacemakers. They say, you know what? We just need to keep the unity. We need to keep the love among God's people. I don't know about you. Praise God. We need some peacemakers at the house of God instead of somebody all time wanting to stir up a bunch of mess for the preacher. Amen. I tell you, we need some people who love God and love the work of God enough to say, hallelujah. We're going to be peacemakers at the house of God. That fella, he's always near a fight. This fella right here, matter of fact, he needs a cold atmosphere to feel comfortable in. You ever tried to drink a hot cup of coffee with one of them? It don't work. That's not his atmosphere. But if you get a glass of iced tea, put him down in it, man, the colder the better. He feels right at home. You know, he's a lot of church folk like it cold. And you let the preacher get to preaching, and man, the Holy Ghost start moving, and the temperatures start warming up, and they get a little bit uneasy at the house of God because that ain't their atmosphere. Amen. Hey, you know what you need? If you got to have it cold to feel at home, you need a revival. Amen. Oh, I tell you one thing right now. You say, preacher, what else is it about this fella? I thought about this. He's one that's always near a fight. And then last of all, this fella right here, you'll get nothing but lip service out of him. Nothing but lip service. He can tell you how it needs to be done, but he ain't gonna lift a finger to do it. I mean, you can vote to do something at the church, and they'll be half that crowd stand around and tell you who you need to get, what you need to go, where you need to do this and where you need to do that, and then comes the Saturday, you got to do it. Ain't won't none be there. Lip service. What we need is some people that says, you know what? I may not can do much, but I want to do what I can to be a help to the work of God. I mean, over there in the New Testament, he talked about all the things God gave to the church. And the Bible said he gave helps. Have you ever thought about what God could use you to do to be a help to your church? To be a help to your preacher, to be a help to your neighbor, to be a help to those you work with. God's calling people today who will enlist in the ministry of helps. Let's bow our head tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody here tonight ought to desire to be used of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you should desire that God would use you as a vessel to pour through your life to touch somebody else's life. It's not that you're the focus, and God help us to never be the focus, but help us to live our lives in such a manner that God can pour His Spirit through us and touch the life of somebody else. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you tonight as she begins to play, if God's speaking your heart tonight, it might be you want to gather here tonight and say, preacher, I want God to help me to be a help to my church. I want God to help me to be a help to my preacher. I want to be a help to my Sunday school teacher. I want to be a help to my choir leader. I want to be a help to those who labor in the work of God. Preacher, I want to be a help to my neighbors. I want to be a help. Preacher, I just want to be that old funnel. I don't want to be that old straw, that taker. I want to be that giver, that one that lives a life that is continually being a blessing to somebody else. Preacher, I want God to help me just to be that. And I know that God's the only one that can help me do that. And I wonder tonight how many more would gather here. We're going to pray in just a moment, then I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. I wonder anybody else tonight. That's right. Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege to be here in the house of God. Lord, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of your people tonight about that ministry of helps. God, would you help us all to engage in the work of God to do your will? Father, we thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Preacher, you come tonight.
All right, number 21 is turning our books tonight. God's man has delivered God's message. You come and ask the Lord to be a helper in the work of God. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of thee and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in time. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single act that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Saints of God, this man has preached to us tonight how we can be a help. Amen. I don't know of a greater need among God's people and in God's church is to say, what can I do? Amen. God does have a place for every one of us tonight. Amen. Thank God for willing hearts. Thank God for people that want to serve God and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, what will you have me to do, Lord? That's the way Saul started out on the road to Damascus after he got saved. What would you have me to do, Lord? Well, I don't think we'll ever look at a funnel like, you know, after tonight and a straw. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll speak to you. Amen. Every time you have to use one of them little fellas, amen. Amen. I couldn't help but think, I don't know if I ought to say this or not, but when he was talking about the straw, I heard a long time ago, you know what a straw's for? Tell a sucker when he hits bottom. Amen. Amen. So y'all don't know if you can use that later on or not, brother. Amen. 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 I appreciate God's man, don't you? And let's pray for him now as he travels back up the road tonight and then comes back tomorrow night and has to go back and forth through Sunday night. And let's be praying for him. I know you will. And be remembering the service tomorrow night, 7:30. We meet out here to pray at 7:15. And we hope all of you can come. We appreciate this good number tonight. And thank again you pastors and you churches. We appreciate you so much. Coming night after night. We've had good attendance this week. And I tell you, in a day when camp meetings are fading, I'm glad to see this encouraging crowd each night come. And you know why? We're getting help. Amen. We're getting help. My Lord, I need help. Amen. Amen. And we'll never arrive to the place where we don't need help. I don't care who you are, where you come from. We need help tonight. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Yes. Now, Dr. McAbee will be up here with these Bibles. We'll be here to help you. You come up and want to get one of these, and amen, and mail them. And y'all do this often, I mean, continually. So maybe something you want to do on a regular basis. Just get with him and help them get these Bibles to these people. Amen. You know what? That's a ministry of help. Amen. You know, I mean, you know, it won't be in the bulletin and it won't be on the marquee, but I tell you, heaven's keeping a record. Amen. And when you get up there, God will have it on the book. Amen. And he'll reward you for it. So you do all that you can to help tonight. Amen. Let's get the books up and everything. Be careful driving out on the highway tonight. And all right, shake hands. Be friendly as you go. Amen. Do we have anybody here that can, water fountain in the ladies' bathroom is running, and we just need somebody that maybe knows something about that. If you can go out there and check it out, we'd appreciate it.